gather, we come here, hallelujah. We gather together in our worship, in our word, and it's so significant, so powerful, because there's been some words that have been dropped in my heart this weekend. One of them was from Prophet Luann, but she spoke a word to me that she says that there's an anchor that holds. Come on, amen. There's an anchor that holds. And when we begin to hear the word, that in moments, come on, don't take this moment for granted. Don't take any moment for granted. As you gather together, don't forsake that. Amen. Because in those moments are moments that we become anchored. Hallelujah. That you might not recognize it, but in the midst of a storm, hallelujah, when you can't hold on no more, when you can't stand anymore, it's that anchor, hallelujah, that's been deposited within your spirit, hallelujah, that holds you. No matter you're battered, no matter you're pushed, no matter what comes against you, there's no rival equal to what you anchor to, and His name is Jesus. And we settle that within our hearts. Let it be rooted within you. I pray today that this word that comes forth, let it be rooted within you. Hallelujah. I feel there's an anchor that's going to hold you through what you're going through, what you're facing. There's an anchor that's going to hold. Grab that word. Come on, amen. Grab that word. Amen. I want you to lift up your hands and receive it right now by faith. I receive that word right now. That'll anchor me. Hallelujah. That'll hold me. Hallelujah. In the midst of a storm. Hallelujah. I will not fail, but I will stand strong in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you glory. And we give you honor. The name above all names. Jesus. You may be seated. All of our children, hallelujah, can go that way. You're the teacher. Yep, Melissa, we meet you right on the corner. Amen. Amen, hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Come on, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Amen. Well, we're going to jump right into it. We have the honor of having Apostle Valentine here. Amen. And I want him, I asked him to introduce Pastor Mark and his wife, beautiful wife Kathy, from New York that have come. I want him to greet you first, and if you would introduce them, I'd be honored. Amen. So come on, let them know how much you appreciate them in the name of Jesus. Amen.
All righty. Bless the name of the Lord. It's so good. Please be seated. Thank you. Thank you. You're so kind. It's a pleasure to be here again and to share this time with you and to see the excitement and enthusiasm that you have in your hearts towards the Lord. And we believe the Lord can use that to cultivate within us the dimensions of grace that He wants to establish in us and help us to walk in. Amen. And why don't you give the Lord a warm praise? I know you've worshipped Him, but let's just welcome the Lord in that. He is so gracious, magnificent, full of glory and power. Amen. Amen. It's my privilege to welcome Apostle Mark and Kathy Malibur. They are from Delhi, New York. Now, most of us know New York, downtown New York, you know. That's a different New York. You know, there's a state of New York, you know, and they live in a place called Delhi. It's about 4 hours from JFK by car. Is that right, more or less? I've made the trip many times, so I think it's about 4 hours. Up in the Catskill Mountains, beautiful area. Lots of summer camps up in that part of the world. And that's where God positioned them and placed them. I always say many Christians go to Israel to do, you know, a pilgrimage. I go to Delhi to do a pilgrimage. Because the Lord has done such a magnificent work in their midst over many years. God has established the culture of His kingdom, the culture of the apostolic. And to see their congregation function, it's just like a well-oiled machine. God has just done such a wonderful work to see the saints flow in the grace of God and the gifts of the Spirit, and just to see the congregation worship the Lord, and to see little children worship the Lord. It was right there in Delhi, I've seen about a 5-6-year-old lie prostrate before the Lord, just worshiping Him. Nobody told him to do that. He just had such an impression in his heart to worship the Lord. And it's really such a beautiful work that God has done in their midst over many years. Amen. So I have the great confidence to introduce them to you and him to you as one who is a craftsman in the house of God. One who has learned from the Lord and from Kathy's dad, Brother Bill Ward, an apostle of the Lord. I call him a master builder of the house of God. One who I sat under his teachings for many years to ask him, Brother Bill, teach me how to build the house of God. And I don't forget this one day. I said to him, will you disciple me into this? And he instantly said, no. I felt a little bit rejected. And then he explained to me why. He said, if I take you on, I have to steal the time of my sons to give to you. I can't do that. He says, but what we can have is we can have fellowship. And I will share with you the things that God has shared with me. And then I understood how committed covenantally he is to those God has given him to raise up. And that taught me a lesson by itself. Amen. And so wonderful not to take the time of those God has given us and give it to others, because we have to steward that time. Amen. So it's so good to welcome them here in Newcastle. They're from New York, and now they're in Newcastle. Last week I was in New Orleans. Everything is new. So would you please receive them? Would you stand with me and receive him? I want you to make a declaration as he comes to speak the word of the Lord. Say to him, we receive you. I can't hear you. We receive you. Oh, let's try again. I need a little boldness here. Come on, man. We receive you. And we receive him that sent you. Declare the word of the Lord. We receive from you as up from the Lord himself. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
I just want to introduce you to my beautiful wife, Kathy. We've been married 41 years, and she is the most godly person I know. And I'm not saying that for your benefit. I just recognize the power and the anointing of God and the tremendous support she's been to me. I could not function and would not have continued to function if it wasn't for her. So I bless the Lord. Thank you, sweetheart. Well, glory to God. Is God in your midst? Amen? God is here, right? He's here. Amen? Give him praise. Give him glory. Give him honor. He is always with us. Amen? You know, everybody's got their style of preaching. I have no style. I just try to hear the Spirit and function. So, all I mean by that is some are naturally exuberant, naturally boisterous. What you see is real. I don't put anything on for your benefit. I've been so excited this weekend, so enthralled with what God has been speaking. As our apostle brother Vincent was ministering today, I was inspired in three different messages. And I said, well, God, how am I going to bring all three messages tonight? That's not going to happen. So as I really gave my concentration to one dimension, I literally went to open up my Bible app on my laptop, and it's not working. It's not functioning. So I'm going to resort back to what I was ministering the other night. And I was not going to minister on that tonight, but I'm going to try to pick up where I'll do a brief summary and pick up where I left off, only because I can't get my Bible program to work, and I know that anybody would be willing to give me their Bible. The trouble is I can't see the letters on the page. I have to go to blow up the screen. So we're going to go with what God was speaking to me last night, and we were looking into, and I think it's relevant for what God has been speaking into your midst, because you opened up with it about our identity in Christ. And so it's just such a key, important thing to get a hold of who we are in Christ. In order to really get a hold of who we are in Christ, we need to know who he really is. How many of you have some kind of church background in your youth or your upbringing? Okay? A lot of people's hands went up. You had some church background. Okay, everything that you've been told about God, I want you to forget. Because most of it isn't true. How many of you believe that God is, he's kind of watchful, watching out what you're doing, and he's keeping record of it? No, that's not it. I just want you to know that our Father is the absolute best Heavenly Father, the best Father you could ever have. I had a terrific dad. I had an awesome dad. Was he a perfect man? Absolutely not. But he loved his children. He loved my mother. The qualification then for a great dad is the fact that he loves his family, he loves his wife, and he's trying to do right before God. And I watched him get up 5 o'clock in the morning, every morning, and devote himself to prayer and to the Word. And that just began to build in me just a hunger and a thirst for God and His kingdom. And at 12, I'll give you a real brief background. You know, the Word of God tells us to know those that diligently labor among us. Now, I just want to thank you, and I consider it a privilege and an honor to be in your midst. I don't take that for granted. We're talking about where we're from. But you know, one thing we have in common, we're all from the house of God. And so our home residence may be in Delhi, New York, but our home is the kingdom of God. And so wherever we are at home in His kingdom, and we're at home in God's people. And so you're our family. You know, we're not strangers, even though you've never met me before. You never met my wife before. We're not strangers. We're brothers and sisters in God and in the family of God. So I just want you to know that our home is with you. It's among you. And I just thank you so much for welcoming us. And the experience of the love of God that I have felt from, you know, just from Sam and Joyce and the fellowship there and Chris and the fellowship here. It's just awesome. It's amazing. It's just glorifying God for the love of God that's in your midst. So keep up the good work. But I'm going to hope to inspire. My desire is to inspire you in your walk with God. And if I only touch one person's life and give you a dimension of hope of who you really are in Him, I will accomplish what God has sent me here for. But hopefully it'll be more than one person, okay? So last night we were just taking a look, and I'm going to talk about it really briefly. And I won't go to the extent of all the scriptures and some of the translations that I really enjoy getting into, but I won't do that tonight. We need to understand who we really are in Christ, because there is a work that the Father has called us to on behalf of furthering His kingdom in this earth. Jesus had declared that the kingdom of God has come among you. So salvation is not the end of the matter. It's the first stepping stone. Jesus Christ came to save you that you might live and be alive to God. He literally breathed the breath of life into you. Just as, you know, the word in the original language for when God breathed into man and man became a living being is the same word that when he put his lips on his disciples and breathed into them and they became a living being. Pneuma in the Greek. And it literally means breath of life. And so when you receive God, you know, we talk about being born again. The translation, the literal translation really says you've been born from above. And what that means is the holy breath of God breathed life into you, and now you've become a living being in Christ Jesus for His kingdom. It's the first step into what God has for you. It's not the end of the matter. He didn't come to just save you from hell or save you from destruction or save you from hopelessness. That's all part of it. You know, glory be to God. That's kind of like the residual byproducts. But he came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And we have yet to fully experience the life that we have in Him if we don't understand who we really are in Him. Everybody hear me? Because if you don't know who you are in Christ, you know what's happening? You're still subject to the human emotion, the human condition directing your steps. And there's more to life, there's more to living than being literally led around by your nose because of your emotions and your humanity. Now, you're not going to get rid of your humanity, but you are going to bring your humanity into the subjection of the rulership and reign of Christ Jesus and the direction of His Holy Spirit operating within you. That is our gifting in God. We've received that in God. And so you're no longer subject to your human natural tendencies, but you're subject to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, listening to Him. But you acquire this relationship with Him over a long period of time. As our brother Apostle Vincent said, I began when I was about 13 or 14 year old. I grew up in the Finger Lakes region, so I grew up in a little south of Geneva, New York. It's on the northern tip of Seneca Lake. Kathy's family grew up. She was actually born in Long Island, and her dad moved to Delhi in 1959 and became the Presbyterian minister in Delhi. Presbyterian, right? But I want you to know something. I believe he was born from above already, and I believe he was baptized in the Spirit, because I listened to some, I've actually got some reel-to-reel tapes of him ministering in the Presbyterian church. I'm telling you, he was not a typical Presbyterian minister. He had insight into building the kingdom of God and ministry to the nations that I'd never heard anybody else have before. So, jump ahead, and about 1975, our two ministries come in contact with each other, and her dad becomes our apostolic covering. Now, immediately, one of the things that happened, I'm giving you such a fast-paced, you know, brief overview. God tells me, this woman is to be my wife. We were still in high school, and Kathy's radiantly younger than I am, but she's actually slightly older than I am. But that's by God's design, because I've needed that wisdom that comes with age. So he spoke to me that she would be my wife. And I said, that can't be. I can't marry the apostle's daughter. Like the apostle's daughter can't ever get married, right? But you see, part of that was is because I didn't understand who I was in God yet. I had devoted my life to God and to be used according to His will and for His purposes. And I didn't know fully what that was going to entail. But I knew God, and I was devoted to God. Now, I became over the years increasingly convinced of the tremendous grace of God operating in her, because she was willing to receive me as her husband, which was an amazing feat in and of itself. But so God brought us together, and literally from the age of about 14, I sat under that apostolic building and was raised up apostolically under his tutelage, if you will. And what I believe the closest example to the New Testament structure of a Paul with to Timothy and Titus that I've ever witnessed. Now, I benefited from that and began functioning apostolically as well as pastorally in about 1998, I guess it was. I don't recall. And I've functioned with Vincent, traveled with Vincent, and been exceedingly blessed by his anointing. And I want you to know, this is a man of God you can trust. Devoted to God, will give you the Word of God, the Word of truth, will do everything in his power to build you up in God. And so I thank Apostle Vincent for just the confidence that he's even shown in me to even invite me here, because he would not do that if he didn't trust God in me. I know him well enough to know that your interests are of the highest priority, not my interests. I mean, mine too, but contextually, he would look out for you and your well-being. So, we look at our identity and how important it is. Romans 8:19 says the anxious longing of this creation is waiting eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Now, we all know that scripture. We can quote it. But we need to come to the place where it is not a scripture that we quote. It's a manifestation of who we are. We become the sons of God. And God is working at building that in us. So, as we looked in Genesis chapter 2, one of the things that is pointed out, he said in Genesis chapter 2, let us make man in our image. And it says, in the image of God, he created a male and female. Now, at that moment, sin had not yet entered the picture, and so man was perfectly, wonderfully created in the image of God. But during the fall, what takes place in the fall, you see the one of the very first things, I want you to take note of something that the enemy did when he brought the question to Eve. Basically, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but what did God say about the fruit of the garden? What did he say about it? And she said, well, we can eat of any of the fruit of the tree, but we can't eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, lest we shall die. And then he says, somebody got their Bible open to Genesis chapter 2. Open that up. Chris is right here. And he can tell us what that says when he said to Eve, did God truly say? Genesis chapter 2. You have to move on down to Genesis 2. Where he says, did God truly say? Well, maybe you'll find it in 1. But find that for me. Did God truly say? Again, I can't flip there because my Bible app isn't working. I just know what it says. I could just say, trust me in this. Did God truly say? So one of the very first things, as you're finding it, we'll read it again afterwards, but one of the very first things we recognize is a revealing of one of the devil's tricks, calling you to question God. All right? That's one of the devil's tricks. Call into question what God has said. Did anyone find it? 3:1. Okay, can somebody read that? You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Okay. Now, her response back is something different. But one of the things that happened was he was calling into question and getting Eve to think about it. Okay, everybody with me? Getting Eve to think about it and consider. And when she answered back, she actually answered something different than God had said. All right. Now, we're not going to dwell on that too much, but I want you to take note. This is how the enemy tries to steal away your reliance on the unquestionable Word of God. He gets you to question, did God really say? So I heard a preacher here recently was describing about, you know, who you are in God, been talking about identity. And so I raised this question also. We have a lot of perceptions about ourselves. But I'm going to ask you this question. Who's told you, whatever your identity, whatever you see yourself as, who's told you that? Did God tell you that? Okay, let me give you an example, because you may not be with me. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a shy person? You might say, yeah, I'm kind of shy. Or do you see yourself as an outgoing person? I can talk to anybody. Okay. Regardless of whatever capacity it is, did God tell you that, or is it the enemy telling you something? You hear where I'm going with this? Because one of the first things that steals away our awareness of who we really are in Him is the enemy, who is a thief and a robber, a destroyer, a deceiver of the brethren, an accuser of the brethren. He's always whispering in your ear. He's always speaking something. And I'm telling you, the whispering and the speaking of the enemy is never in line with promoting who you really are in God. It's always to steal away and to rob from you, because you see, his ultimate goal is to destroy you, but he is very content with, what's the word I want? He's very content with, it was there a second ago. I just didn't catch it. It was on a bus. It was pretty fast moving. He's always trying to subdue you or subvert you, because even if he gets you to simply quiet down from who you really can be in God, he's content. Because he's stealing away something that God wants to do through you. Let me ask you this question. Do you understand that you are the house of God, you are the church of God, you are the living temple of God? The church isn't the building. You're the church. All right. You're the church. So we understood that the temple of God is both individually. I am a temple of the Most High God. And it's also this house here. It's the temple of the living God. The enemy is very adept at trying to steal something away from who you are. Because if he can do that, you won't go out and accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. So we understand and read, the anxious longing of this creation is waiting eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. And God is moving in this hour. God is moving in this hour to elevate your relationship to another level. He is elevating your relationship. So if you're functioning from a capacity of, I'm content, let me change that word. I'm complacent with where I am in God. No. We need to learn how to be content in God at the same time, I want more. God, I am greedy. I want all that you've got for me. Not for my sake, but for your kingdom's sake. We need to be more forceful. You know, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Is there anybody here that lacks wisdom? So we ask of God. We inquire of God. We're constantly... See, God isn't going to say to you, you ask for too much. Come on, hear me now. You ask. God isn't going to say to you, you ask for too much. He's going to say, you had not because you asked not. And there's a truth in not only asking, but reverentially, humbly demanding that God release what He has promised. And I mean that in the most humble, gracious way, but God is not opposed to those who believe His Word, speak His Word, declare His Word, and say, that's mine to claim. That's mine to own. I want to take ownership of who I am in Christ. So when we read, this is who you are, this is what you need to start preaching over yourself and your neighbor, your spouse, your children, your community, your region. It's bigger. It's bigger. What God wants to do is bigger than you, but you are the chosen vessels that God wants to operate through in this region. How many of you know that God has planted you here to take ownership of this city? Amen? He's going to do it through the sons of God. What's going to happen when, you know, our brother Chris was saying earlier about the Lord spoke to him about overflow. And he was seeing that in the Spirit, and that's right. What's going to happen when you simply overflow? You know what you do? You send out and you establish another work. And you send out and establish another work. I'll tell you what our vision since about 1971 was. God gave us a very clear vision. Proverbs 29:18 says, without a progressive vision, you will dwell aimlessly. And that word in the Hebrew is hazon. And it means prophetic revelation. So typically the church has laid hold of, go into all the earth, making disciples of all nations, and lo, I am with you always. We all know that scripture, right? All right, now there's going to be specific ways that God may direct you to function in doing that. In our ministry, one of the things that God had declared for our vision is this simple. Strengthen, confirm, and establish churches throughout the nations. Now, that's pretty broad still, because it's not one-dimensional of just starting a new work. But seeing clearly that one of my callings apostolically is to build up the body of Christ. I don't have to plant a new work. I can be accomplishing God's heart by strengthening that which He's already established. Or helping to confirm who you are in Christ. So vision is extremely important. And we've got to be progressing forward in that vision, letting God refine us. And the way that occurs as we come into a more fuller understanding of who we are in Him. Now, you see, I'm really jumping around a lot, and that's all right. I mean, I'm just jumping around. You know, I'm jumping around, and I'm sensing the Lord just say, it's not just for you. You see, because as I don't know your names, but I'll use Chris because he's right here, and I know his name. So as Chris knows who he is, and I know he knows who he is, but that strengthens you. Amen? As you know who you are, that strengthens your neighbor. And guess what? Now all of a sudden, the whole group, identity has changed, dimension of ministry has changed. It's everyone, the saints, being equipped to do the work of the ministry. Amen? Out of Ephesians 4. It talks about fivefold ministry. We call it fivefold ministry. I kind of hate that terminology because God didn't say it. He said He gave gifts to men. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, shepherds, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to do the work of the ministry. And He said, until, for the duration of time, it wasn't just for the day of Pentecost, it wasn't just to get the church started, it was until we all attain to the unity which exists in Christ Jesus. Well, I tell you what, like I said, how old am I? I can't remember. I'm 61. And I've been going since I was 14. And I've heard umpteen hundreds, if not thousands, of messages on unity. The body of Christ isn't functioning any more unified today than it was in 1970. And yet the Godhead isn't divided and never has been. We talk about, I found God. Let me ask you a question. How many of you believe God was ever lost? You came to an awareness of God's choice concerning you. We need to get that rooted in our spirit and get a hold of that, what that means, because the scripture all says, I'm going to paraphrase slightly, but you can go find it. You make certain of His choice concerning you. Growing up and understanding who He's called me to be. So I'm going to jump down to, Ephesians 4:24. If you're taking notes, you can jot that down. Put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. Now, as I said last night, I was speaking last night in Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? When the accuser of the brethren comes, and he comes to you, and he brings an accusation, one of the scriptures, and I do believe that we should do spiritual battle with the Word of God. Amen? Not your emotions, not your thoughts, not your justifications, not even surrendering to the accusations. Never surrender to the accusations. Never. Even if there's an element of truth into it, never surrender to the accusations. Because here's the thing. The element of truth, we have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. We are victorious in Christ, and that's who we are. So part of the dimension we have to grow into is learning how to deny the old man that we once were and proclaim the new man that we are. Amen? Proclaim who we are. Now this apparently, and I'm so blessed in the Lord, this apparently is something God's already been ministering in your midst. Right? Nothing wrong with that. Peter said, to speak the same thing to you is of no consequence to me. It's not a problem to me, and it shouldn't be a problem to you. Because if we hear something again, that means God wants to get our attention. He wants to tell us something. Years ago, a brother said to me, and he meant it very complimentary. He said, you minister such a simple word. Now, if I said that to Apostle Vincent, you minister such a simple word. Our first reaction is, man, all the study, all the time, all the devotion, and you're telling me it's simple? Now, what he meant was, it was relative. I could apply it to my life. It's practical. And because of the counter to that is, if it's so simple, why aren't we doing it? Or why don't we get it? If it's so simple. Well, God reminds us of truths of His Word. And if you consider Jesus, which He instructs us at every turn, in every way, consider Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. At every turn, every question of the day, every situation, consider Jesus. Do you know it's okay to say to yourself, before you go simply acting, what would Jesus do? It's okay to say, what does my God want me to say? How does my God perceive this situation? Lord, how do you want me to answer this? Sometimes it's be quiet and listen and wait. Sometimes He lets us enter into the rest and peace of the Lord. You don't always have to answer. So when the accuser of the brethren comes, Jesus answered him at every turn with the word of God. Right? He was taken up into the wilderness, and the devil came and said, you know, if you bow down before me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the earth. But didn't he say that? Did Jesus say, no, you don't have authority to do that? Never said that, did he? He said, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God and him only. See, answer the devil's accusations with the word of God. And if you don't know the word, go find it. Do not accept the accuser's accusations. Do not accept the accuser's accusations, no matter the element of truth that may be there, because he is still a deceiver, he is still a liar, he is still a robber, and he's trying to bring destruction to you and to steal away from you who you really are in Christ. And far too long the church has accepted the lies of the devil. Accepted that. And we've let our mind go there. And we've said things like, well, I can't really share and witness to this friend of mine, this neighbor of mine. I really don't know, but I know Pastor Chris can. I know Kelly can. All right? See? No, God sent you there as a messenger, and you believe in Him, and you've accepted to Him, and you may be able to say, I have a limited understanding, but this I know, my God loves you. He cares about what's happening to you. He's cared about what's happened to me. And I will be with you every step of the way, and I'll get you more help that help answer some of your questions. But you don't back away from being who God is establishing you to be, who your identity is, because the accuser comes along and says, you're not worthy. Because the question comes back, who told you you're not worthy? Who told you you couldn't be a mighty warrior in God's kingdom? God didn't tell you that. Who told you you're depressed? Some doctor? You know, the accuser of the enemy, the brethren, that's who told you. God didn't tell you that. You won't find that in His Word. So begin to take in the Word and become a people of the Word, so that the Word is our weapon. It's the sword of the Spirit. Amen? So, I want to jump ahead because I think you've got some really good foundations here in the area of God's at work within you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. He's at work constantly within you. Don't ever question about what's going on in your life. Have you ever asked the question, what's God doing? What's God doing? He's doing lots of things. It's never one dimensional. But He's furthering His kingdom in the earth. He's preparing His sons to be His sons to accomplish His purpose. And when I say sons, that's not gender specific. We all are sons of God. Okay. Because I am not taking one element away about the mighty women of God. The daughters of God. I'm telling you. Don't miss that. God is moving powerful in our women, our ladies. And I want to hear what God is speaking through the daughters of God. So when I use the term sons of God, it is not gender. It's simply the terminology that God uses. We're all sons. All right. God is at work within you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. So you see, I have been put forth on this earth with one purpose and one purpose only. To live for Him, to serve Him. When Kathy and I were filling out paperwork for our one of our adoptions. We have three children. Two of them are adopted. And finally, it all happened all at the same time. It's a whole cool story in itself. But we had to put down, what is our goal 5 years from now? 1 year from now? What's your goal 5 years from now? What's your goal 10 years from now? What's your goal 20 years from now? Kathy said to me, because there's this great big long section that they leave for you to fill out. And I said, I can summarize that in one sentence. She said, really? What do we put down? I said, one sentence. Well, I think it's one sentence. I actually haven't counted the words, but to be where God wants me to be, to be there when He wants me to be there, and to be obedient to what He wants me to do once I'm there. That's my goal. Be where God wants me to be there when He wants me there, and be obedient to what He wants me to do. Because in so doing, I understand, in that proclamation, I've understood my purpose on this planet wasn't to make my mom and dad have one more wonderful child, even though that was fulfilled. That was true. My name, and it was my name, is Mark Timothy, and my mother named me that for biblical reasons. So you can look that up, what that means. But it wasn't for them. I was put here for God. I was put here for God. And somehow, I can't even tell you exactly the why, but at 14, I understood that. I was put here for God. It did cause a little confusion for me in those early years, because I was really active in sports. I loved sports. I loved football. And I was, for our school, I was pretty decent at it. By a national standard, I was horrible. But by a local standard, I was okay, you know. I mean, I was really good. But if you got outside our little area, I really wasn't that good. But I loved it. But I was so dedicated to God, I had a little bit of confusion. Was playing football okay? You know, no, I didn't want to be distracted. And the other crazy things, we had a lot of crazy things back then, because, you know, I'm coming out of the eighth grade and I'm absolutely convinced that God's coming back before ninth grade and I'm not going to have to go through it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's coming again. And He's going to take me away from here and I'm not going to have to go through the ninth grade. Hallelujah. I didn't care a lot about that. And praise God, Jesus is coming. Well, that was just a couple years ago, and I realized the fallacy of all of that. But the point is, in it, I was so devoted to God and His purpose and His plan. And brethren, you want to come into what it means to be a son of God? You've got to change your perspective. You're not here for you. Come on, I'm encouraging. I really mean this in the most encouraging way. Change your perspective. You're not here for you. You're not even here for your wife. You're not even here for your children. You're here for God. In the capacity that when you lay hold of who you are as God's son, you're going to be a better husband. You're going to be a better father. You're going to be a better daughter, a better brother to one of the brethren, because you are beginning to grow into the fullness of who you are in God, and it's going to spill over into who you are in this community, in this life. But you try to reverse it, it doesn't work. Listen, do a little experiment sometime. Get a pail, get a little bucket, right? And pour about half the bucket full. You kind of have to see this process. You get 5 pounds of rocks that will fit in the pail. 5 pounds of rocks or whatever that will fit in the pail, but fills the pail up. And pour sand in and around the rocks. No problem. Do it in reverse. Put the sand in first and try to fit the rocks in. Doesn't happen. Doesn't work. Both the ingredients are the same thing. But the different dimension is, one, we are at the center. And we're going to try to fit God into the rest of our life. Doesn't work. God is at the center. He is everything. He is my all in all. That's what I live for. It's what I breathe for. You know the song, I think you probably have heard it before, "You are the air that I breathe"? It's all about God. And coming into who I am in Him will cause me to be able to fulfill who I am here on this level. But you try to do it the other way. Just try to be a better husband without making God at your center. You're going to grow weary. Because you're not going to do it right. You're going to make a lot of mistakes. It's a given. Your humanity. You're not going to get away from your humanity. But when Christ is the center of your life, the grace and mercy and the power of God is yours to help you along the way. And not only that, but the grace of God is there to help you hear the voice of God. This is what will bless my wife. This will be what serves my children, what will serve my household. But you flip that around and man is at the center. We're trying to fit God in. He is raising up a people in this hour who are devoted to the living God and to grow in relationship with Him. And I'm telling you, He wants to raise the bar. It's okay not to be content with your previous experience with God. Each day is a new day in God. And so I just want to encourage you. Be content in the Spirit, yes, but fervent in your zeal for the Lord of hosts, because the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish His good work in you. Do you believe His word?
Yes.
Do you believe His word?
Yes.
I believe His word. So at every turn, in every way, I want to declare His word because I believe in the power of His word. We need to be a people of the word. Now listen. You want a confession? You want to confess how difficult it is to be in the word? It's difficult sometimes, isn't it? And sometimes one of the tools that the enemy will use is to say to you, I don't want to do anything just by rote. I don't want to just do it because I have to do it. What a scheme from the enemy. What a lie from the enemy. You eat breakfast in the morning? Why? Because you're hungry? Because you want to? Also because you have to. Listen, stop eating. See how it works for you. And yet we think we can do it spiritually. We think we can stop eating. Or we think we can live on somebody else's meal. You know, this isn't the fulfillment of your walk in God. This is to be an inspiration to your walk in God, but not the fulfillment of it. How many of you want to declare, I know Jesus personally, I know my Father personally? You don't know Him as well as He wants you to know Him. His arms are wide open. You know, in the book of Samuel, Lord help me, because this isn't, I'm getting off track. I got to be disciplined. I'm getting off track. But Eli says to Samuel, after Samuel comes and said, Did you call me? Did you call me? Did you call me? Eli begins to recognize and say, okay, I know what's going on. You go back and when you hear the voice, you say, speak, God, for your servant is listening. Speak, God, for your servant is listening. Brethren, God wants you to develop a relationship with Him so that you are speaking to Him. Speak, God, for your servant is listening. We develop our prayer life. We develop our prayer life around, God, I need. God, would you do? God, I need this. God, can you do this? Would you work a miracle in this situation? Would you... And listen, please don't take any offense to this. But He's longing for a people who say, God, what do you want? What do you want to do? What do you want my mind dwelling on? What do you want me to think about? What do you want me speaking? What do you want me praying about? See, we need to develop the prophetic priesthood, visionary, prayer, warrior mentality. Prophetic, visionary, warfare mentality. So that you hear the word of the Lord come to you saying, prophesy to this city. Prophesy to this neighborhood. Just as Ezekiel did. See, God came and He said, Son of man, prophesy and say this. When the church comes to the place of relationship where we begin to hear God Almighty, God our Father saying, prophesy this, pray this, I'm telling you, mountains will come down. And it's not going to be we had to hype something up. It's because that's the word of the Lord coming forth off His mountain, off His throne, down to His sons, proclaiming, this is what our God is saying in this hour. But if we stay in the place of God, God, feed me. I'm still this little chick in the nest. Just, I got my mouth open and just please do something for me. Our ears aren't open to hear. Son of man, sons and daughters of the living God, speak thus so that I can accomplish my purpose. The work of God in this region and the kingdom that He wants to establish is much bigger than any one of us. But He desires, He's designed by His order. I don't fully get it because He could do something just so sovereignly. He doesn't need us, but He has chosen to work through us. Amen? That's how God decides to work. So we need to be a people. I got to find my place. I'm sure it's here somewhere. You know, I was talking to Apostle Vincent today because one of the things that happens is I've been on this journey for a long time with God, but it hasn't quenched my appetite. In fact, it's just gotten stronger and stronger and stronger. And one of the things that has happened is God speaks to me in the night, and I guess that's because it's quieter. Not any other disturbances or anything else going on. So he wakes me up and he starts pouring into me. And I've even experienced a dimension of like feeling like I was like taken up into the third heavens, like Paul, where all of a sudden he's pouring something so deep that I'm sitting there literally in awe and in kind of this sleepy, restful state, shaking at what God is pouring out. So then I work and I put into these notes, and first thing you know, I've got 40 pages of notes and I've got time enough to give one. You know, and I said to Apostle Vincent, I said, it has got to be challenging because sometimes we want to give you the whole barn full of hay. You know, we want to just unload. You recall the old-fashioned days when they used to put the hay in the hay mound, they just kept pitchforking it and stacking it and stacking it. And once they started using bales, they just learned how to stack better and put more hay and more hay. We want to give you the whole barn full. And you walk out and you go, man, that was good, but what was the message about? Hallelujah, God was there and we were on fire and it was alive and I know the Holy Spirit was there, but what did He speak on? When we feed the horses, we give them a flake. We feed the horses, we give them a flake. We don't give them the whole barn full. And so sometimes that's how we've got it. We've got to try to curb down and come down and just say, all right, what's the points here? What's the main point? So I want to touch on some of these main points again. He's quickening an awareness into us of what it means to be a son of God. We're all called to be sons. What it means to be called the Son of God. To grow into our identity in Him. A main point is being convinced and knowing that He is at work within us. Always at work within you. Both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Amen? He's working within you continually. Don't ever question what's God doing. He's working within you. He's furthering His kingdom in the earth. He's raising up sons and daughters. And He's establishing His kingdom. And He's spreading forth His church in the land. And He's creating a people who will be able to go into nations. And I'm not talking about necessarily the physical nations, but the spiritual nations, and dispossess the giants in the land. One of the things I thought about preaching on tonight, and I really love this message that the Lord had given me years ago, and it has to do with possessing the land that God has given us. The only problem is my Bible app wasn't working, so I couldn't call on any of the scriptures. And I never tried to meditate, or I never tried to memorize scripture. But over the decades, I've found that the Word of God just fills your being. It's there. But not good enough that I'm going to just stand here and quote every verse. I don't know the word that way, although I'll do a lot of quoting of Scripture. It doesn't come that way. So, but the message of dispossessing the spiritual giants and laying hold of the land that He has given to us spiritually, which, by the way, will have a correlation to the land that He wants to give us naturally. Have you ever heard the principle, first the natural, then the spiritual? There are times that in order to accomplish the natural, God is establishing something in the spiritual realm first. Because if you think about it, the pattern of the temple and the earth, the natural temple, was a replica of the pattern of what was already established in the heavenlies. So spiritual first, natural second, taking us into what it means in the spiritual realm third. Amen? Okay, well, we're not going to teach on that. But we need to grow in an understanding that God is at work within us, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. And He's establishing kingdom principles in our lives, not as a religious function, but as a spiritual awakening of what it means to be a son and daughter of the Most High God. Sacrifice and meal offering God has not desired, but obedience He has. But obedience to what? Not rituals. Not religious exercises. But obedience to His word. So I was talking about the word of God, and I was saying, you know, one of the lies of the devil is you don't need to get into the word because you don't want to do it just by a ritual. No, you know what you want to do? You want to change your perspective, knowing that the truth of the word of God prevails. That the word of God, as it goes into your being, it's going to nurture you. It's going to feed you. It's going to strengthen you. It's going to help give you a perspective for the day. You know, one of the reasons we have trouble sometimes in this life is the word of God is not nigh thee. It's not even in our mouth. It's not even in our thought. It's not even in our plan until we go to church on Sunday. That's why we need to be a people of the word, in the word, of the word, by the word, for the word. I can't speak about the word enough. And I promise you this. If you make the word, not so that you become more intelligent, so that you could quote a few verses of scripture, so that the word of God goes into your being and changes and transforms who you are, changes and transforms your perspective. All right, so I can't see the clock. 8:05. What kind of time frame are we? What time did we start? We did? I've been going an hour? Oh, man. I hope I haven't worn you out, because I'm just getting warmed up, man. I was exhausted earlier, but I caught a second wind. All right, let me skip down here, because I want to get to something really, really cool. Okay. I want to give you some areas. This is things to understand what, how to put on the new self, how to grow in putting on the new self. And I've really jumped around a lot tonight, and I do apologize for that. But I do believe it's where the Spirit was taking me. That I don't apologize for. But I do know that conciseness sometimes helps us walk away with the truth of the Word. So I'm actually working these days to becoming more concise. But whenever God takes me on these bunny trails, I kind of have to be obedient. So the important aspect of understanding the discipline in our mind and taking our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. The scripture is filled with verses of scripture having to do with Romans chapter 12, verse 2, for example. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Another passage of Scripture. What is lovely, is of good repute, let your mind dwell on these things. You see, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. There is instruction from the Word of God. You know there are I don't know the number of verses, but well over 100 verses of Scripture dealing with the mind. Do you think the mind is important to God? It's very important. And He gives a lot of instruction in His Word of the importance of the mind in taking in the Word of God, in helping us grow in our perspectives, helping us grow in our goals, in our ambitions, in our desires, our affections, Set your affections on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Amen. All right. For who has known the mind of the Lord that He will instruct him? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. But we have the mind of Christ. Amen? God is equipping you and pouring into you of His Spirit. And you see, the awesomeness of God is bigger than you, because even when we are faithless, He remains faithful. And He pours out His Word into you by His Spirit. But something the Lord taught me a long time ago. I won't go into the whole story, but just a summation. I became increasingly aware of how active the Word of God was when I'm preaching. And I asked God, God, I haven't tried to memorize Your Word. How is that possible? Is it just by anointing? Is it just by sovereign move of Your Spirit? And He says, I draw from the depth of the well that You have dug. Hear me in the Spirit with that. I draw from the depth of the well that You have dug. So in your quiet time, in your private time, in your days by yourself, in your days of meditation, you're digging a well. The Holy Spirit's job, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit, is to bring back to remembrance all that Christ has taught. But I want you to understand the role that you play in that is you have to read what He has taught. He will not bring back to remembrance anything that's not in that well. Now, occasionally, God, by His Spirit, can drop a scripture in that we've heard from somebody else. But I'm just telling you that there's so much more that the Holy Spirit wants to pour into us and into our thoughts. Because every single day, in fact, every moment of the day, you know, you're challenged with taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If the Word of God does not richly dwell in you, how can you do that? The Word of God must richly dwell in us for the Holy Spirit to draw on us, and I'm telling you, He will. Fill up the well. Apostle Vincent was saying this morning about the importance of coming to a place of fullness so that we overflow, not just so we have to measure out and measure out, but God wants us to overflow out of the abundance that He gives. See, He says in Malachi, and we talk about that in terms of the area of finances. He said, if I will not pour out from heaven, press down, good measure, overflowing. Malachi, right? But it isn't just the finances. It's not talking about money as much as it's talking about everything pertaining to God. God wants you to dwell in abundance. I came that you might have life. That more abundantly. It's an abundance that God wants to bestow upon you, but we have to lend ourselves, give ourselves, apply ourselves, because if you're living on yesterday's manna, you're going to be hungry. If you're living on last year's convention, last year's conference. Listen, I've been in the kingdom a long time, and I've met a lot of believers who are 40 years old in the Lord, 50 years old in the Lord, but I've also met a lot of people who are 1 year old 50 times over. And I don't mean that critically as much as that may sound to you, but I mean that compassionately, that we've got to be in the Word, being nurtured by the Word, being fed by the Word, being made alive by the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will do His part. But sometimes believers function as though they think, I almost apologize for going there, but we sometimes behave like this. What's the sitting on the carpet and, you know, we're just going to be carried along magically on the carpet. It's not that way. Don't look for the Holy Spirit to just magically transport you to some dimension. Lend yourself to the Word of God and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I mean this with just so much love. I do mean it with so much love and compassion, because I want to see the church grow into the fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus, which is available to us. The Word of God is rich, and He tells us that we can grow into the fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus. That's who we are. Put on that new self. Don't sell yourself short. Don't let the enemy sell you short. Don't let your former way that you see yourself. Seth. The Lord's just speaking to me. The man you were is not the man you are. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. The man that you are today is pale in comparison to the man that you're going to be next year. I'm telling you prophetically. Forget everything from the... I don't know your past. I don't have a clue. It doesn't make any difference. Yesterday's gone. Will never be again. The past is the past. It's been buried in Christ Jesus. You've been set free. The new man that you are today is going to pale in the comparison to the new man you're going to be next year. But the key is you believing in your heart, you knowing in your heart, you proclaiming in your heart that you are a new man and you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. And every single day, you're opening wide your heart and say, fill me, God, with who you say I am. Pour out your spirit into me of who I am in you. Not who I think I am, who the enemy's told I am. Because you are a son of the living God. And you've received a portion and inheritance that God has wanted to pour out to you. Tap in, tap in, tap in to the nurturers that God has surrounded your life with. And you know, guess what? Another thing that he's telling me is you are going to be a nurturer of others because of availing yourself to the call of God. Oh God, hallelujah. Hey, you know something? Do you know that you can receive a prophetic word given to someone else by saying, Lord, I believe that for myself. There's a truth in that. There's a principle in God's Word in that. So I'm telling you, be quick to hear. Quick to hear to the Word of God being spoken in your midst. And when you hear something that you know that's right from the throne room of God, meant and designed to build up the body of Christ, to edify someone, to strengthen somebody, you say, Lord God, I take that word for myself. I receive that to me. Lord, do that in my life. I open wide my heart to you. Pour out your Holy Spirit and fill me. So Father God, in the name of Jesus, right now, I ask that you will fill this place, that you will fill the hearts of your people, that you pour your spirit in such a way that the enemy is sent running and packing his bags and leaving because he no longer belongs in this place. These sons and daughters of the living God, you young people who have yet to really fully know who you are in God, there's going to be a day that you know who you are in God. Father, fill this place. Fill these vessels. Bring an awareness of your spirit speaking, your spirit. You are a speaking spirit, a speaking voice to us all the time. Let us hear your word. Silence the devourer. Silence the thief and the robber and the accuser. Let your word be heard. I am a living creature of Christ Jesus. I am the Son of the living God. And you look at the mirror, folks. You begin to proclaim. You proclaim who you are in God every day. And I'm telling you, your perspectives will change. Your attitudes will change. Your goals will change. Your ambitions will change. Your joy will change because joy is a fruit of God's Spirit. It's a fruit of God's Spirit. And it is always in your possession. Amen? Joy is not about circumstances. Joy is always there. It's a fruit of your spirit. Life goes on. Life happens. But my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is His kingdom. My mind is His mind. My being is His being. And Paul speaks in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified in Christ, and the life that I live now. So, brethren, every day, speak that over yourself. I'm crucified in Christ. And the life that I'm living today, I'm living for you, God. I'm living for you, Lord Jesus. You're going with me in my workplace. You're going with me to the marketplace. You're going with me to school. I'm living for you, Jesus. Because all of this other stuff doesn't matter, but His kingdom does. Now, I was brought up under this beautiful understanding phraseology of do not be so spiritually minded that you're no earthly good. Don't be so spiritually minded that you're no earthly good. In other words, we can't be so our mind being like off someplace else and we don't realize what God is doing right here. But conversely, that's true, and so I say it differently today. Don't be so earthly minded that you're no spiritually good. Be spiritually minded so that you can be spiritually good. And you will also be earthly good because He wants to bring His kingdom to this earth. He's brought His kingdom here among men. And it takes a spiritually minded, a spiritually directed people. And the Scripture tells us, the Word of God tells us, that which is spiritual must be spiritually appraised. Amen? So if you try to understand the Word of God, the direction of God, just with your mind, you're going to be lacking. We need the impartation of His Holy Spirit to help us understand the application in the natural realm of that which He is doing in the spiritual realm. That which is spiritual must be spiritually appraised. So many scriptures, and I'm not going to take the time tonight, obviously, to look at every verse of Scripture on the mind. But you can. You can be inspired in this message and say, I want to grow in my identity in Christ. And I've only scratched the surface. Literally scratched the surface. But one of the keys is the discipline of your mind in the direction of things of God's kingdom, understanding who He's called you to be. You have not been created for this realm. You've been created for His kingdom realm, sent to the earth. Kingdom to the earth. Not the earth, and I'm going to try to fit the kingdom into it. Another principle, we're not going to take a look at the Scriptures, but I'm just going to give you the point, because I have tons of Scriptures in this area. The renewal work of Christ that He's doing, the renewing process that He's doing in us daily. It is not just a one-time work where when we accept Jesus Christ, we are renewed. We are continually being renewed by the power of His Spirit every single day. But if we come to a place where we believe that we've attained to all that we can attain to, there's a plateau that takes place. I mentioned two scriptures last night, and I want to leave you with those tonight. Such a key to coming into the fullness of the identity of Christ's image that we are. See, we have been created in His image. As a man believes in his heart, so is he. As a man believes in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So be careful what you speak. I'm telling you. I used to be, always have been, my absolute worst critic. Nobody could criticize me more than I could criticize myself. And after I've been ministering the Word of God for 38 years. And Sunday after Sunday, or gathering after gathering, you know, someplace here, whether that be Australia, whether that be Venezuela, whether that be Ethiopia, I would routinely critique myself of what I did wrong what I should have spoken, what I didn't get to, words that I might have fumbled over. In other words, I just verbalized negativity. And my wife would just patiently endure and tell me that wasn't the truth. And this is what I should speak. This is what I should speak. And I am still learning to speak life rather than death. To speak promise and hope rather than condemnation. So I want to encourage you, discipline your speech and eliminate the negativity about yourself, the negativity about others, the negativity about the church, the negativity about the leadership, the negativity about the song, the negativity about the job, the negativity about the car, the negativity about work. Start proclaiming hope, promise, future, what God says, this is who I am. Proclaim the word of God. Bless those who curse you. Bless and curse not. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. As a man believes in his heart, so is he. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. There's a transforming work of Jesus Christ that takes place when you start speaking the truth of the Word of God about yourself, about your family, about your husband, about your wife. You start speaking. Instead of speaking, you see, I have the absolute greatest, tremendous, wonderful woman of God that He could possibly ever have given me because she never placed expectations on me. Because she could have. But she loved me for me. And we've grown together. And I've never will profess to say that I'm the greatest husband. Although I've gotten to be pretty good. But part of that is this. Speaking the truth of the Word of God in love to one another. And I specifically inserted the Word of God because, oh man, I know I got to close. But this is important. When the spies were sent out into the land, they were sent out really to take possession of the land that God was giving them. And they came back and they gave their report. 10 gave truthful reports. Catch this. They spoke the truth. They weren't lying. They spoke truth. But they weren't speaking the truth of the Word of God. Joshua and Caleb spoke the truth of the Word of God because they spoke of faith. They spoke of promise. They spoke of what God said. Now you go back and read it. I don't have to take the time to read it. But one translation I read said that God did not have regard for the negative reports. Now think about that and apply that in our own lives. Speak the truth of the Word of God, not just the truth. You see, if I insult my wife and I hurt her and I destroy something of her, it doesn't make one hill of beans if there was a little element of truth. It didn't glorify God and it didn't glorify her. It didn't edify her. So we have not done that to each other. We've never done that to each other. We speak the truth of the Word of God. And so I want to encourage you, most importantly, speak the truth of the Word of God over yourself. And start declaring who God says you are. See, Peter was asked the question, and I will stop. I will close. I'm telling you, I'm excited in the Spirit. I am excited in the Spirit. I'm excited in the Spirit. Peter said, Jesus asked Peter, I'll close here. Don't go on anymore. Jesus asked Peter, who do men say that I am? Well, some say prophet. Some say Elijah. Peter, who do you say that I am? Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the sent one of God. Thou art the Christ. And he said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this, but my Father who is in heaven. I was meditating on that passage one day, and God said to me, who do you say that I am? Well, I know how to quote a verse. And God said, that's Peter's line. Who do you say that I am? So I answered God, you're my Father. You're my all in all. You're everything to me. You're my hope. You're my dreams. You're my passion. He said, now who do you say you are? Whoa. I'm telling you, when he said to me, who do you say you are? I was convicted. I was convicted. Because I know who I've said I was. It wasn't what God said. I was convicted because when I was young, I hated myself. Lots of things I didn't like about myself. He said, who do you say that you are? So God started giving me His words for me. I didn't possess them myself. He said, you're my son that I have called. I have formed. I have put my spirit in with you. I have anointed you to be a messenger in my kingdom. I move through you to give encouragement to others, to give hope to others. I sent you here that you might strengthen others, that you might build others up, that you might encourage others, that you might speak my truth, that you might be a voice for me in the wilderness, that you might proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, that you might set the captives free. I said, Lord God, that's who I am in you. Not me, but that's who I am in you. So brethren, I want to encourage you tonight. Look, this isn't fake and put on. I'm not that person. This is just me, raw. This is who I am. I want to encourage you. Get before your Father. Ask Him to give you words of truth of who you are in Him. Let God, who richly dwells within you, give you words of truth of who you are, because that's the beginning step of you being able to put on the new self in the image of Christ that He has created you to be. And there's so much in this topic, and I know you've got some good teaching in that, so keep listening for what the Holy Spirit wants to feed you. And I just pray that God, do your work. Father, for each person here, take whatever portion of this message, whatever sentence, whatever verse of Scripture that spoke to their heart, and build upon it, Father God. Father, I pray that you just pour out your Spirit, that you will edify, you will strengthen these precious saints, these precious children. These are your children, and you want to move through them in this region. So, Father, you are doing an equipping work, and I pray, Father, that you will strengthen them and that you will accomplish in them and through them all that you desire for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. That was real. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what? We got food. They're getting ready downstairs. So we're just going to sing this chorus. But as they're getting ready, I want you to think about something, because there's some words that he said that sometimes we got to realize that in the natural, when we're at work, sometimes when I'm at work, the occupation that I have, I got to remind the guys when it gets hot, and you're in a ditch, and you're dirty, and the day isn't over, I got to remind them to dig down deep. I tell them, I said, come on, guys. I said, we got this. Let's dig down deep a little bit. That strength that's within us that sometimes our flesh tells us, give up, you ain't got this. But I'm here to tell you tonight, listen to me. I am who He says I am. And sometimes during the day, sometimes in our lives, moments in our lives are challenged in believing that. But I'm here to tell you, dig down deep. Dig down deep in His Word. Hallelujah. And don't be shaken. Don't be moved. Anchor yourself. Hallelujah. Anchor yourself in that Word and who He says that I am. Unshakable place. Hallelujah. It's my refuge. Would you stand to your feet? You all know this song. We're going to sing one verse of this. But I just want you to declare it. Let it be anchored in with this Word. Amen? Hallelujah. Come on, praise team. Come on, sing this verse. Come on, here.
Louder than my unbelief.
Louder! Come on.
I raise a hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah.
Come on, this is what happens. Hallelujah.
Fight for me.
Oh, yes, Lord.
I'm coming to sing in the middle of the storm.
Yeah,
louder and louder. You want to hear my praise and roar.
Yeah.
Up from the ashes, death will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive.
I revise the time.
We are who He says I am. Come on, you're going to dig down a little deeper. Come on, amen. We're going to stand unshakable in His Word. Hallelujah. That's His promise. Everything that He said is truth. The same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen. God said it. That settles it. I'm going to dig down deep in it and not be moved by it. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We praise You for Your Word. I pray to God, Lord, that it settles within us right now. Hallelujah. Right now. Right now. That word anchors within us right now, God. We give You the glory and the honor. And with that, we will declare with all that's within us that we are
blessed and highly favored.
In Jesus' name, amen.